Morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I used to be the youth worker and community worker here in church. It's really great to be here with you. We're going to start by just reading a couple of verses from Jeremiah 29. So if you want to turn there with me. We're going to read just three verses from verse 10 down to verse 12. It says this. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. Let's take a moment of prayer before we look at this morning. God, we thank you for your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would speak and teach in every heart and mind here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've got a bit of a question. Question for you guys in BB, but kind of a question for everybody. Do you ever wish you could just see the future? Show of hands. Anybody just ever at times wish they could see into the future? Like get one of them Back to the Future cars and just go ahead and see what's going to happen in life? Know how your exams are going to go and all that stuff? It'd be great, wouldn't it? It'd be so much easier at times in life if we could just see into the future. It'd be so much easier when it comes to planning life. When it comes to planning how you want your life to pan out, how you want life to go, it would be so much easier at times if we could just see into the future. I wonder what your goals are, your plan. I wonder what your ambitions, your dreams are for life. All of us are great at making plans. We make all these plans in our mind, especially when we're young, of how we want life to go. I want to get my GCSEs, I want to get my A-levels, I want to go do this at university, get a really well-paid job, drive a really fancy car and live in a massive house. Maybe travel the world, do X, Y, and Z. We all make these great plans of how we want life to go. We start to paint this amazing picture of what life could be, what we would love it to be. But what if there was a bigger picture? What if there was a better plan? What if there was a more beautiful picture than you could ever dream of, than you could ever think of? Well, in Jeremiah 29 here, in verse 11, we're told, God tells us that there's a bigger plan. There's a better picture. It's His plan, His picture. For you guys as boys who are in BB, who are young, and you maybe have all these dreams and ambitions, God, in that verse where He says, I know the plans I have for you, He's telling you that I have a plan for you. That plan is for you to prosper and not to harm you. That plan is to give you a hope and a future, a bigger plan. Bigger plan than we could ever dream of or imagine. See, early in the passage, if we were to read a few verses before, he says, look, there's going to be different prophets, there's going to be different people that are going to come and tell you different things, that you should do different things, but don't listen to them. Don't listen to them because I have a plan. And so one of the things that the world is great at, and those of you who are older will know this, the world is great at telling you that you just need to have your own plan, you need to make your own way in life, that you need to do this, you need to achieve this, that all of us should have loads of money, that you should drive the fancy car. That's how you should plan your life. But God said, no, don't listen to what the world says. What if we listen to what He said? When He says that He has a bigger, better plan. A plan to give you hope and a future. And I want to look at that a wee bit this morning. What does God mean when He says that for each of you boys, He wants to give you a hope and a future? See, for God isn't just caught up, or He's not just concerned about the earthly. God's not just concerned about things here on earth. When God looks at you, He doesn't see your business. He doesn't look at you and just see what car you drive or what house you live in. He doesn't see whether you have a piece of paper that tells you you have a degree or GCSEs. That's not what God is caught up about. God's not caught up about just the earthly things. He's much bigger than that. God looks at the bigger picture. He's not about the earthly. God's more about the eternal. I want to show you a wee illustration. This is something that I saw quite a while ago. Some of you have probably seen it. Once I grab my massive rope here. There's a famous speaker. This is heavier than I thought it was. There's a famous speaker called Francis Chan. And he'd done this illustration once, and it really challenged me, really made me think. He brought out a massive rope. This is our massive rope. And this rope represents eternity. This rope represents from the moment you are born right into eternity. And what I mean by eternity is I mean forever. And this entire rope, from the moment you are born, the moment you are created, is what God is concerned about. He cares for you even before you were born. He thought of you, he formed you, he created you, and he cares for you right through into eternity. That's what he is concerned about. That's his mindset. But for so many of us, we are caught up on this wee black bit at the start. This wee black bit represents your time here on earth. Your time here on earth. The 70, 80, 90, if you're fortunate, years that you may have here on earth. And so many of us, we get caught up on this wee bit. What happens in the here and now? How much I can achieve? And we only plan for life in this wee small black bit. Where in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of eternity, this bit is really small and short. And so God, when he says, I have a plan for you, his plan is not just for this wee black bit at the start. His plan is not just to give you hope and a future in this bit at the very start. When God says, I have a plan and a hope for you, he means that my plan and my hope is for eternity. We have the mindset a lot of time that we only get caught up in the present. We only get caught up on what's going to happen maybe next year or just in our time here on earth. But God isn't caught up on just the wee short bit. He's more concerned about the long bit. You see, way back in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, they messed up. They disobeyed God and sin entered the world. And because of that, we were all born of sin. We were all separated, lost, separated from God. But you see, that wasn't good enough for God. Because see, God, when he created Adam and Eve, when he created each and every one of you, you were created to be in friendship and relationship with God. And so God, he wanted to be in friendship relationship for you, not just for this wee bit at the very start on earth, but for eternity. And so he sent Jesus. And Jesus came, he died on the cross, he paid the debt for our sin, and he opened the door for each of us to come back into friendship relationship with God. He opened the door for us to turn to God and ask for forgiveness, knowing that he promises to forgive us. He done that for each and every one of us because he cares for us. Jesus came, he paid the price, and he gave us a hope and a future. He gave us a hope and assurance of a future that when we turn to God, when we take our life plans and we put God at the center of those, when we make him number one and trust and follow him, we can be sure that we have a future with him, not just for our time here on earth, but for eternity. But Peter, that sounds great, but I don't have time for that. I mean, I've got exams coming up this year, and those are what I really need to think about right now. I have A-levels, I'm trying to get into university, or Peter, I have a business to run, that, like I don't have time to be thinking about what's going to happen after my time here on earth. I'm just going to focus here and now. Maybe you're somebody that is thinking like that. Maybe you're somebody that's just engrossed in the here and now, in your plans, your dreams, and your ambitions. And your hope and your future is all based on what you can achieve, how well you can do in your exams, how well you can do in business and in life. Maybe that's what you're focusing on, just all that you can achieve. I just need to do it myself, Peter. That's the mindset that I have. In the end up, if I just do things right, surely I'll turn out okay. I'll maybe think about eternity when I get there. You see, you know what's wrong at times with just focusing and on our own plans and ambitions and trying to do it ourselves? The problem with it, boys, is a lot of the time it just relies on you or other people. It relies on your ambitions, your dreams. It relies on your abilities, skills, and what you can do or what others can do for you. And do you know what happens with that? Sometimes it doesn't go to plan. If any of you boys were to turn and ask any of the older people here in church, does life always go to plan? Does life always go the way that you planned it when they were your age? They'll probably, a lot of them will tell you, no, it doesn't. Life doesn't always work out. Things go wrong, we make mistakes. When we rely on other people at times let us down, they fall away. Tough times come and things don't always plan out the way we wanted them to. But you see, with God at the center of your life, it's completely different. I had all these dreams and ambitions, and if you were here just before the summer when I spoke in around the exam times, I shared my story a bit of how I had all these great plans to become a PE teacher and do all this stuff, and I needed GCSEs, A-levels like everybody else, and I failed at the very first hurdle. Didn't get enough GCSEs, didn't get back into school. All the plans that I had just fell away at point one. I didn't even make it to point two. It all just fell in around me. All my plans, they were all based on my ideas, my dreams, and what I wanted. But now, after that, I realized that it was far better to have God at the center of my life. I realized that it was far better to follow His plan and have Him as number one. You see, with God at the center of your life, you know that no matter how things shape out, God is always there. The Bible tells us that God will always remain, that He is always on His throne, and no matter what happens here on earth, if God is on His throne, everything is okay. That He will always be in control. He never fails. He never backs down on His promises. He never makes mistakes. His plan for your life is bigger and better than you could ever dream of. Because His plan is not caught up on just this wee time here on earth. His plan is for you to be with Him forever. And that comes with putting Him at the center of your life. That comes by putting aside everything that you want, everything that you ever dreamt of, and saying, God, look, no matter what, I'm just going to follow You. I don't know where You're going to take me. God, I can't see the bigger picture, but I'm going to trust that You do. I'm going to trust that You're a big God and You can see the bigger picture, and I'm just going to rely on You. I'm not going to rely on myself. I'm not going to rely on other people. I'm solely just going to rely on You. But Peter, how can I trust God? We sang a kid's song about how he's incredible, he's invisible. So Peter, how can I trust God if I can't actually see Him? I mean, I can trust my friends because they're there. I can trust other people because they are physically there. But Peter, what does it look like for me to trust God? Well, the Bible tells us that when it comes to God, we've just got to have faith. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. As Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. Not what we can physically just see or physically touch. We walk by faith in God. I want to demonstrate that a wee bit to you. So I've asked a volunteer to come to the front. Sam, do you want to come on up? I feel like we should give Sam a round of applause. He's no idea what's going to happen here. So he doesn't. Sam, so up you come. It's okay, Sam. It's not like last year. I'm not going to make you hold a water bottle. So I need you to turn. Sam, step forward here. Just a wee tiny bit. Sam, do you want to take your glasses off? Because I'm going to blindfold you. That's always promising. So I went to Sam earlier and I said, Sam, I need you to do something for me. He said, okay, what is it? I said, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I just need you to trust me, okay? So can you see anything?
No. Nope.
Promise? We're in church, you can't lie. Yeah? Can't see anything? Nope. Great. So, Sam, first question, do you trust me? It's going to be awkward if you say nobody here.
Yeah.
You trust me, yes?
Yeah.
You know that everything's going to be okay here? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Sam, I'm going to go over here, okay? Do you still trust me? Okay, I want you to put your arms out, and I want you just to fall back. Trust me and just go for it. Keep your legs straight and just go. Way, give a round of applause. Thank you, Sam. You can take us off now. Did you have any idea that Dave was behind you?
No.
No? Great. Go take a seat. In that moment, I asked Sam to come up and to trust me. He had no idea that Dave was going to be behind him. He had no idea what was going to happen. But I said to him, look, I need you to trust me. He couldn't see what was going on around him. He didn't know, but but I told him, look, just trust me. He knew that ultimately I wasn't going to let him in front of all of these people just fall and smash his head. That would be really bad and really bad youth work. So he knew that I had his well-being and cared enough for him that this was going to work out okay. If I just listened to Peter, I trust him enough just to fall back, and surely somebody will be there to catch me. You see, with God, we might not be able to see him, but we have evidence all around us increasing that he is there. We've just got to trust in him. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible tells us that God cares for each and every one of us. And so if he cares for us, if we just trust him and we just follow him, tough times will come, but he'll guide us and lead us through that. Every day, I was thinking about this, and every day we all actually rely on something that we can't see, we can't touch. We do it every day, and we don't even think about it. I want everybody in church this morning to take in a deep breath and breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. It's relaxing, isn't it? Right in that very moment, you relied on something you can't see and you can't touch. Right in that very moment, your whole life depended on something you can't see and you can't touch. It's a thing called oxygen. From the moment you're born to the moment you die, you rely on oxygen, and yet we put faith in it. We can't touch it. We can't see it all around us. But we walk by faith in the fact that oxygen is there. How much more should we walk by faith that God, who created all things, that created oxygen, that created you and cares for you way more than you could ever imagine, how much more should we trust and rely on him? There's two reasons I want to finish with, boys, as to why I believe that you should put God at the center of your life, that you should trust him and follow that amazing plan that he has for you to give you a hope and a future. The first one is this. The first reason I think we should put God at the center of our life and follow him and his plan for our life is because he is God. He's the creator of all things. The Bible tells us that right at the beginning, God spoke and things were made. He formed and things were made. God is God. He created all things. He is a big God. He sees the bigger picture. He created the bigger picture. You think of the size of our galaxy, the size of the universe, and you think that God spoke that all into existence. He is far bigger. We don't even know the size of the universe, and yet God is bigger than that. The reason that it's good to follow God's plan is because he is God. He's big. And he's someone that is great to have on your side. First reason, he is God. Second reason is this. God is the creator of all things. You're part of that creation. You're part of what God created. Each and every one of us in here. But not only that, you're the most significant part of his creation. He created you and me to be in friendship, relationship with him. To be with him for eternity. For the long bit of the rope. Not just the short bit. It's you that he gave up absolutely everything he had. It's you who he sent his son to die for simply because he loved you and wanted to be back in relationship with you. It's you who, when we turn to him and we ask for forgiveness, he promises to forgive you. It's you that he cares for way more and loves way more than you could ever imagine. You're part of God's creation. And if it's you that God cares for, and part of caring for somebody means that you want what's best for them. And God wants what's best for you. And what's best for you is having him at the center of your life. You may go on to have the fancy car, the big house, and all of that. You might not. God might say, do you want? I want you to go to a completely different country and live with people out there. Share my news and my love with those. We don't know what exactly God has planned for you. But we do know that when we put him at the center of our life, you'll always have him as your hope. You will always have the assurance that no matter where you go, he will always be with you. You always have the assurance that for eternity, you will always have him. So boys, it's better for you to put God at the center of your life. One, because he's God. He's in control of all things. But two, because he cares for you and loves you way more than any other person or anything will. There's your plan. There's God's plan. God's plan. The big question is which will you follow? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you care for us. God, we thank you that you do love us. God, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. God, we thank you that even though we mess up and we do things wrong, God, you sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay our debt for that, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be accepted back into your family, God, so that we could be back into friendship, relationship with you. God, as Alistair prayed at the start, God, give us the boldness to just walk by faith, not by sight, and trust you and follow your plans for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.